After Paul established the church at Corinth, he kept checking back in with them by letter. He needed to do this because when he wasn't with them, they kept slipping back into old habits, blaming other people for things going wrong. They lived in times of upheaval and violence and uncertainty, and sometimes reacted in ways that were not the best choices. The portion of the second letter to the Corinthians that we hear today reminds them that as people following the way of Jesus, they are to remember that their goal is to please God. They are to remember that God knows what they are up to, what they are saying. There is no hiding from God. Paul also speaks to them of the leadership that is offered to them through Paul himself, through Timothy, through Titus. He reminds them that the leaders are working to be worthy of their trust, are living their faith even when it's difficult and when the people don't appreciate them. He tells them that living for God, following Jesus, creates a whole new world. The old things are gone, and God offers new ways of living, new ways of life. We are living in times of upheaval and uncertainty. Our world is changing so quickly. Weather changes, floods, hails, volcanoes, windstorms, fluctuating temperatures in such ways that even the elders of our communities are encountering something they haven't met before. Economics and technology are turning us upside down. Jobs are created and lost and tossed around like loose leaves. We don't like what we have, but when we are offered something different, we grumble about that too. We are reacting in ways that are not the best choices, stirring up hatred with words that incite division instead of compromise, using our fears to hold others down or back when we know we should be inviting them in. Welcome to Corinth. We can do better. Paul said, "The goal is to please God." Paul continued to encourage the people of the church to work together, to give each other strength, to keep them focused on what they were supposed to be doing, pleasing God. How do we please God? Well, we don't put ourselves first. We don't separate families. We don't judge people without knowing them. We don't turn others back into violence to protect ourselves. If we are going to quote biblical passages to justify our actions, there is only one passage that counts. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said everything hangs on these. Everything we do should come back to this. This is how we please God. Humanity must be an unending challenge for God and proof that God has unending patience. We have the faith to believe that God could just flood the whole world. Oh, just a minute. God already said once is enough. Or zap those that aren't perfect. Well, there wouldn't be people left, would there? But we also have the promise of God that we can make our own choices and that God will walk with us through the consequences. We choose, God walks with us. God sows the seeds of caring, compassion, justice, and love within us. We don't know how it happens, but if we nurture them with faith, it is entirely possible that we could grow into something that supports and shelters and loves God's people. If we dry them out with attitudes like, all for me, or calling those who think differently than we do, names like stupid or dumb or ignorant, then the world will shrivel into anger and violence. Make no mistake, there are times to call out people who are not following God's way, when their goal is self-interest, when they are uncaring of the cost on humanity, when lives become pawns and numbers to win the game of power. Then we are to raise our voices, overturn the tables, and stand between the oppressed and the oppressor, and risk our own safety for the sake of others. We are to partner with God's people. We are to play together, work together, learn together. We are to support each other without expecting reward because Jesus said we should love our neighbor. We are to invite the homeless and the helpless in because Jesus said we should love our neighbor. We are to stand boldly for justice for the weak and the vulnerable, because Jesus said, we should love our neighbor. Love our neighbor as ourselves. If we were in the same circumstances, how would we hope that others would help us? As United Church partners, we have agreed to work together. We don't see each other every day, but we have common goals and faith. We know that we can't hide in our buildings. We know that we can't be God's living church alone. Last week, the United Church of Canada celebrated its 93rd birthday. In this 93rd year, the church is reimagining how it lives as God's church, and much of this new world we are entering relies on us to be united, to be partners with all of our relations. There is no promise that this will be easy. The place of the church in the world is shifting rapidly, but we choose and God walks with us. There may be times, like the people of Corinth, when we lose our way, but God will walk with us. Look around this room. These people and others who are here in spirit with us are our neighbors, our partners. God has seeded in each one of us the gifts of love and compassion and faith to be lived. For the love of God who calls us together, let's be God's love in the world with sharing, with caring, with bold words that incite goodness. Together, let's reach out to please our God. Amen.